Weekend Breakfast
with Joe and Michael.
Very good morning to you. Saturday morning, this is your Weekend Breakfast with Joe Stanley and Michael Beveridge.
I have just been loving the diamonds in a Netball World Cup.
Oh, well. Ah, at first I was like, well, let's... They are apparently a woman's best friend, they say.
No. Although I do, sure, love... Give me a rock, I'm happy with that. Well. But no, they've won against now Wales.
A traditional powerhouse in most sports.
Wales makes me laugh as a country.
Welsh, the language.
Taffy.
It's like every letter has 17 Y's in it.
I know, I just think you don't want to have a phlegm issue in Wales. Like you don't want to have... If you're lactose intolerant in Wales... There's a lot of issues
no
there.
No one needs that. Did you see their version of Geordie Shaw?
No, I did not.
The Vivalis? Oh, my God.
That was amazing.
It was amazing. Hey, we're talking another country very shortly. Yes. The Kiwis.
We love them too.
Oh, they are truly a blessed people. And I've got a feeling that maybe if they wanted to call 131060, go crazy.
I would love them to call. I've never met a Kiwi I haven't loved.
No, they're always great.
They are. They're really cruisy, but they're kind of really independent as well, unlike Australia, I think.
They're sort of just like Australian, but better at sport and less intolerant.
Yeah,
basically it.
Weekend Breakfast
with Joe and Michael.
We're doing this.
Bro, bro!
Kiwi chat, this is Kiwi chat, this is Kiwi chat on Weekend Breakfast.
Oh, Joe and Michael, this sounds like a pretty sweet segment, bro. Good choice, cuz.
Nothing like stereotypes to start us.
Well, no, but this came from a story and originally when that guy, he relieved himself in a tunnel.
He did a poopy in a tunnel.
In Wellington. And we went, hey, we love Kiwis, so let's just embrace their culture.
Exactly. And we've got a bit of culture. New Zealand, they fill us with so much joy, except for the Bledisloe Cup, which I assume we will lose tonight.
Oh, yeah.
We've got a story out of New Zealand now. And just humour me here. I see a headline. This is the sort of headline where you read, and it's just like, duh. But I guess they gave it a punt in New Zealand. It reads... New Zealand's first alcohol-free nightclub closed because no one came.
Yeah. I go there. I mean, who would go to an alcohol-free nightclub?
But the thing is, it wasn't even like it was open during the day.
Because I'm like, isn't that just a juice bar?
Yeah, that's what I mean. But it was only open from 2 a.m. to 6 a.m.
Oh, for recovery. But... You know, people like alcohol when they're recovering too.
That's the thing about a recovery. It's called the hair of the dog for a reason.
Yeah.
You just sort of keep going. Now, I don't know if...
Can we just pull Dave Dobbin down a touch?
We can pull him down.
Sorry, he's distracting me a little.
I do enjoy a windpipe as much as the next man. See, Australia, we've got ourselves a culture where we think that we're this massive drinking culture. You know, it's like, oh, love a drink.
Well,
we are. But I have a feeling that our... Trans-Tasman brethren and what do you call sisters? Sistren?
Brethren is same for male, female.
It is?
I believe so.
Why not? That our Trans-Tasman brethren, I reckon they're just as into it as we are.
Oh, mate.
Mate.
What do you do in New Zealand other than drink and go be outdoors?
I don't know. Well, let's ask the New Zealanders, I reckon.
Oh, come on in, call us. Come on, 131060, call us.
Something about Stan Walker? Like a sheep joke reference or something?
131060 was the number in case you missed that.
That just happened. I'm amazed.
They didn't let me play that last time.
Well, we do want you to call if you're a Kiwi because we love you and we just want to get, again, just a sense of your fair country.
I'd like to know, 131060, call us if you're a Kiwi and you had a drink last night.
Okay.
That's a bit risky. Actually, no, maybe we're just a broader one. A broader one.
Kiwis in general would be nice.
Any Kiwi, 131060.
All right.
Weekend Breakfast
with Joe and Michael.
Have we got a little Kiwi chat thingy?
Are you want to hear it again?
No, I love hearing it. I just love a bit of Dave Dobbin in the morning.
Well, you should have warned me.
I should have, actually.
Do you know I went to uni with Dave Dobbin's nephew?
Yeah, and you
told... Bro, Kiwi chat, bro, is Kiwi chat, this is Kiwi chat on Weekend Breakfast.
Yeah!
Oh, Joe and Michael, this sounds like a pretty sweet segment.
It is a pretty sweet segment, Michael. We want Kiwis to call 131060 because I just saw a story and I thought, I feel like the Kiwis wouldn't have even said yes to this. The headline reads, New Zealand's very first no alcohol nightclub closes after 5 weeks. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, you know what? Australia has this culture of being, you know, big drinkers, but I feel like Kiwis are just a step above us. And Cody has called up on Kiwi Chat on Weekend Breaky. Cody, how are you? Oh, actually, I was about to say, mate, is it a girl or a guy? It's Cody.
Well, ask. Hey, Cody, are you a guy or a girl?
I'm a girl. Good morning.
You can still say mate to a chick.
I know, but I was just, in my head, I was denoting masculine. Oh. And I just
we can be mates.
Yeah, yeah, let's be mates. Cody, tell us, firstly, do you think Australians or New Zealanders are bigger drinkers?
Kiwis top it by far. I have not found an Aussie that can drink like me.
Woo, Cody, that is a challenge right there.
It is a challenge.
Obviously, drink responsibly, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes. But, so when you hear that in Auckland, they did attempt to have an alcohol-free nightclub, do you think, what was wrong with that person who thought of that?
Pretty much. Like, it's a bit of a joke, unless they're trying to get us to stop drinking because alcohol's so cheap there.
Oh, is it?
Hold on.
It's a lot cheaper in New Zealand than it is in Australia, so maybe that's why we enjoy drinking more.
Mm. I just have a feeling we might have Cody from the tourism board here. She's doing a pretty good job of swaying me.
Cody, are you from Auckland Way?
I'm from Auckland.
Oh, do you know the person who owns this bar?
I hope I don't, actually.
Can I just got to point out here that Joe Stanley... assumes, it's like when you meet someone from America and you're like, oh, do you know Hank Walker? It's like, no, Joe assumes every New Zealander knows every other New Zealander.
It's a small country, Cody, isn't it? And you tend to know a lot of people.
Good point. Apparently, the size of New Zealand can fit into Melbourne, so it is pretty small.
You are from the tourism board. Those sort of facts and figures everybody knows about.
All right. Very lovely. And once again, never met a New Zealander I didn't like.
Exactly.
She was charming.
Okay, we got Nawaka on the line. How are you, Nawaka?
Yeah, good part.
Oh, Jesus.
You've made our morning.
Oh, it's the man. Everything well. Okay, mate.
Sure.
Auckland, a bar with no alcohol whatsoever. What say you?
It's pretty much a joke, that is.
Yes, it is a joke. Which part of Kiwiland, I apologise, Kiwi just came out there. Which part of New Zealand are you from?
From Mount Maunganui.
Say it again.
Mount Maunganui.
I love Mount Maunganui.
I think this is my favourite segment because we just get to hear mad Kiwi bros call up and say g'day.
What part of New Zealand is Mount Maunganui?
Yeah, it's a couple of hours south of Auckland.
Oh, do you know anyone who owns this bar?
Weekend Breakfast.
With Joe and Michael.
Here at Weekend Breakfast, we don't want you to suffer the shame of partaking in something that's not cool anymore. So we've got our finger on the pulse.
Yeah, that's what they call us, finger on the pulse. Show. I'll come up with a better name.
It's not so catchy.
It wasn't the best.
Okay. So I read that LOL is on its way out.
I've got mixed feelings about this, but thank God because...
Who uses it?
Well, this is the thing. Facebook has analysed comments on its website and turns out no one's using it anymore because I don't.
No.
Do you? I'm a ha 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 ha.
Oh, give me a ha.
It feels really good to type ha 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 ha.
Well, I mean, literally, you just move your fingers half an inch and it's lol. You know, because I go lol, 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 lol. I'm a lol, 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 lol.
It feels better than a lol, lol, lol.
We should just say that for the next 3 minutes. See if we can literally make everyone turn off. I remember, because I'm an internet kid, you know, I was bred on the internet. And
what?
I don't know if you know this, but I've got mixed feelings about this. I hate the word lol.
I love a lol for a sarcasm.
Lol.
I love lol.
Heaps lolling.
Yeah. Or you know, when it's a bit awkward, you're like, ha ha, I accidentally lol.
I've got a lol tattoo.
Are you serious?
What?
You got a lol tattoo?
Yeah, I've got the word lol.
That is the worst
It was 12 years ago. That's how long ago I was into, like...
That's why children shouldn't be allowed to get tattoos, because you
18.
Make terrible decisions.
Oh.
Show me, where is your lol tattoo?
What is it?
It's on my foot. It's on a beer bottle.
Oh, it's a Z on the end. It's
lol.
Even worse.
No, that makes it better.
Lols
makes it better if there's a Z on the end. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because how?
Okay, let me just brief history lesson on the internet. LOL started around like 99, 2000 in ICQ and MSN. In ICQ where you would say ASL and then you would LOL and WTF and those things. And then it got taken over by internet memes and then turned into LOL orally. And I thought, this is great. This won't die. This trend will be there forever.
Oh my God.
And I got LOLs tattooed on me. On my foot though. On my foot. And I feel like that's okay.
Why?
Because not many people see my feet. You know, I've got an ice cream and a KFC bucket tattooed on the other one. No one's going to see that.
It's just such, like, that is worse. I didn't think it would be possible.
Come on!
The only person who is winning here is Ed Sheeran. Because you actually have got a worse tattoo than that thing that he just had done on his chest.
I wanted to defend the tattoo, but now that you've taken heat off me, yeah, Ed, what a terrible tattoo. Stupid ginger.
It's only half finished, though.
That's terrifying as well. Like, how much more is it going to take of his chest? It looked finished to me, that.
Apparently there's half more to go.
Lion, if you haven't seen it, check it out, because it just makes his nipples look painful. Didn't you think?
Any chest tattoo I look at and I just go, A, ow, B, do you go over the nips or do you leave them? Because when there are just nips sitting there, just in like a portrait of something, and then there's just two nipples.
Yeah, it's like nipples bedded in a lion's mane. It's disgusting.
He needs to get a lols on that. There's something about it. Weekend
Breakfast with Joe and Michael.
Now, there's been a lot of chat this week in the news regarding the Liberals' decision, I guess, not to run the conscious vote.
Yes. Well, the Coalition voted this week against having a conscience vote for same-sex marriage, which meant that every Liberal MP is forced to vote what the party wants them to vote. And if they choose to cross the floor and vote against that, then Abbott's saying that he's going to sack them or at least demote them from their particular position.
Yeah, which I agree with. You know, I understand the importance of having a unified party. That's what destroyed the Labor Party. So I get his idea of if you don't agree with me, then you're fired. What I don't agree with is his initial concept and the ability on matters of a moral nature, like marriage equality.
Absolutely. It's heartbreaking for this country.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely heartbreaking. And that's why it was everywhere. That's why people were commenting about it, because we're just like, come on, this is our opportunity and you've taken it from us.
And you know the world's ahead of us, basically.
It is.
It's not an opportunity anymore.
No.
You know what I mean? It was an opportunity
three years ago. It's us in Africa, basically.
Mm. Yeah. It's just we're a laughing stock now. Yeah. And I know that because, you know, we've all got friends who are from overseas and that's what they're talking about now. But sure, you said, and this was an interesting angle that we hadn't really heard from before. You saw a status on your Facebook page.
Yeah, one of my best friends is in a gay relationship, and he's very open with his opinions and whatever else. And he put this on Facebook, and I thought this was interesting. He said, "I'm coming clean with the biggest mistake I've ever made in my life. ... I voted for Abbott. #shame."
Mm.
Well, because I do think, and wow, that's a big admission. Yeah. I do think there are people who are, you know, you kind of raised one side of the fence, I think, often.
Yeah.
And you go in and you vote for a particular party because that's sort of how you always have. And generally their policies work for you. And perhaps you might have voted for the Coalition in the last election. And now you're sitting there going, hang on, I am so, so, so for same-sex marriage and equality.
Mm.
And now... this is the party I voted for. How do you deal with that?
And the thing is, it's not like there's only a couple of people who voted Liberal. The majority of Australia voted Liberal. They won.
Yes.
So obviously, you know, there's a lot of you. But I know that times have changed since then. So insofar as the push and the kerfuffle about same-sex marriage has sort of made people who perhaps didn't think about it enough go, you know what? I guess I'm behind this. I voted for Abbott and now maybe I regret it.
So 13 1060, are you sitting in that position? Did you vote for, and you know, a lot of people keep this to their cards to their chest.
Very
they don't,
close,
they don't
yeah.
say who they vote for, but you know, we can keep you anonymous.
It's not a political chat per se.
It's not,
is it?
No.
But it's just the idea of has this, you know, it's affecting all of Australia. Has this situation this week made you go, you know what, I regret voting for Abbott? Weekend
Breakfast with Joe and Michael.
We're talking about voters who potentially have a bit of bad blood for Tony Abbott.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look, the Liberal Party voted during the week on whether or not they would have a conscience vote on same-sex marriage. And it wasn't just Abbott's. It was 60 votes to 30. Mm. So it wasn't like Abbott's the only person who's responsible for this, but he seems to be kind of wearing a lot of the egg on his face.
There are a couple of jerks in the party.
Yeah, it's true. But
some sheep.
Yeah. We're wondering if 13 1060, you have, and we can keep you anonymous, if you've been a supporter of the Liberal Party in the past and now you're thinking, this is such an important issue to me, same-sex marriage, that marriage equality is, you know, putting us in a very bad position on the world stage, and I believe so strongly in everybody having the right to express their love as they choose.
Exactly.
In a legal fashion.
And you know what? It wasn't really, it didn't come to the fore when the initial election happened. You know, it obviously was an issue, but it wasn't a firebrand thing that was front page press all
it's
the time.
True.
We want to know from people, Are you a Liberal voter who's changed their mind? And Dave has called. How are you, mate?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
Now, it says here you've married someone in the Liberal Party, but now you want to swap?
Well, not the marriage. That could end up awkward. A bit more voting, yes.
Yeah, we're not expecting that you're just going to swap the person you're married to. No. So, Dave, how does that sit with you, that you obviously have connections with the Liberal Party and it's not now aligning with your values as far as marriage equality is?
I need to explain this all the way through. I sympathise for many of the ones who voted for, not because I believe it's the right decision, but at the moment, let's face it, they know it's a sinking ship. So I believe that as soon as it goes to Labor, because Tony Abbott actually broke the rules by making a vote for a conscience vote and threatening people, that's completely against what the Liberal Party does. Most of them know it's a sinking ship, and I guarantee you that as soon as he hasn't got half their paycheck to threaten them with, how many will actually cross the floor? And that's an open discussion amongst them behind closed doors.
Oh, is this a little scoop you're giving us, Dave?
That's why I wanted to stay anonymous.
Yeah. Oh. I was not aware Dave was not your name, by the way.
But it's a lovely name for you.
Beautiful name. And the issue is, and Dave. You'll say, we all know it. Politicians exist to stay in office.
Oh, and it's the modus operandi.
It just seems like it's such an obvious thing. I don't know who this silent minority is. Silent majority that they're thinking support, you know, the traditional marriage rules. But you'd think he'd just go, you know what, let's do what needs to be done to stay in charge. It just blows my mind that he's not doing that.
Oh, absolutely. And all of the people I'd say a high percentage of the people that voted for it not to go to the conscience vote are stuck in an awful position of, we know we're going to lose. We're probably going to lose our seat. But if we do the right thing, we're going to lose half our wage until we lose our seat.
It's a very, very difficult position for them to be in. But, you know, an opportunity for them to perhaps stand up for what they believe in. Thank you, Dave.
Thanks, Dave.
Adam,
Hello.
Hi. Tell us your experience with this issue.
Well, it's very difficult for me because I come from a very traditional conservative family.
Mm-hmm.
You've been in Melbourne, you know, since Melbourne started. I'm actually a gay man. The first member of anyone of my family and that sort of knew. And traditionally believe 100% in the Liberal ideals, but now it's come to the issue that now they're, and I'm not suggesting I want to run off and get married tomorrow, but I still would like to have that right.
The opportunity would be lovely.
Yeah. Equal
yes,
be nice,
of course. But the right's been taken away from me and I don't have that right.
And it's challenging your political beliefs, which is a very difficult position to be in if it's something
extremely
that's ingrained in you from your family.
It is, and not only that, it's interesting. I mean, I have a lot of friends that are not gay that are senior members, you know, senior people in Melbourne business in Australia.
Mm.
You read their Facebook comments, everybody has got a very distinct opinion, and it's challenging an enormous amount of traditional Liberal supporters, including myself.
And Abbott's put you in that position in a way. Mm. He's kind of challenging you in a way.
He has, and he is. And I find it difficult, in my opinion, to vote for the Labor Party just because of the values and the upbringing I've had. But the issue is, he is now a negative force against what our normal beliefs that we have and traditional beliefs they are.
And you know, it's not just your, it's 75% of Australia that believes that way.
And predominantly my friends all are Liberal supporters, and across the board, right up to my elderly 70-year-old parents are all asking the same question.
And you know what? You can be a Liberal voter because I, you know, economically, I'm quite liberal in my views, but socially, I'm fairly left. You can be a Liberal voter and support same-sex marriage. And I think Tony needs to understand that he's not going to lose people by doing this. He's probably going to gain a whole bunch more supporters once he switches over. And I just don't understand his logic. It's like he's incompetent or something.
I don't know. Self-sabotage is a funny thing, you know.
It feels like that, doesn't it?
It does a little. I did it for years in relationships. I know. Weekend
Breakfast with Joe and Michael.
How you doing? Saturday morning, Weekend Breakfast with Joe Stanley and Michael Beveridge.
I have a question for you before we get to this song.
Yes, I did work out last night. I did do some sit-ups.
Is that why you're still sweaty?
Yeah.
Shut up.
You have been wiping your brow this morning.
It's a hot morning. It's 4 degrees.
No, I don't know if we've got time for my question now.
No, yeah, you do.
All right, very quickly. What has Cody Simpson done
Cody Simpson. He was a singer.
I know who he is. He's a singer. But have we heard any of his music?
You know what?
He has 7.5 million Twitter followers.
Yeah. I think he was just Bieber's mate. He released it, went on tour with Bieber like 6 years ago when he was 13.
The tweenies dig him.
Yeah. I met him when he was young before he went to America. I interviewed him. Yeah. But even then, I didn't know who he was. I'm like, yeah, 7.5. He's just done an amazing thing where he's handed over his Twitter feed to a Syrian refugee.
Amazing
for 24
story,
hours.
Yeah.
Incredible. But I'm just like,
what does he do?
That's so nice, but who? What?
Who are you?
I don't get it.
What's it? Does he have any
famous
hits?
Australians
any
we
hits?
Don't know are always funny. So famous funny Australians we don't know much about.
Anyway, in a moment, we're going to be speaking to someone that we all know.
Yes.
Jacinta from The Bachelor.
I love a bit of Batch Chat.
Can't miss that. You can't miss that at all.
Weekend Breakfast
with Joe and Michael.
This is your Weekend Breakfast with Joe and Michael. Now, in case you missed it, which you can't have because everyone is watching it, it is The Bachelor and a huge week this week with so many twists and turns. And we are very lucky to be joined on the phone by the latest woman out of the house, Jacinta.
Yes, Jacinta, who managed to leave the house without even a rose ceremony. Jacinta, that must have broken your heart, or was it a better way to leave for you?
Totally nailed it, I think. What a great way to leave. I say.
Okay.
Is the term out of the house?
Oh, whatever you call it. Out of the running.
Out of the yes. race, maybe?
Okay, so just for people who didn't see Jacinta, you and two other very fine young ladies were taken on the exact same date. They called it Groundhog Date. Nice. Mm. All three of you just went into meltdown when you discovered that this terrible trick had been played on you. So before we even get to the reason that you left the house or the running,
the thingy.
I just wanted to ask you, because you seem to be the most upset by the revelation that you had exactly the same date. Why were you so upset? Because to me,
there's a number of reasons. Like I'll give you the rundown because there's a
please,
few.
Please, please.
And you're only seeing a few, I guess.
Okay.
A fair few. Number one, you know, you go into this show and you're trying to commit to getting to know someone because you've been told that you're meant to be, you know, kind of a match. And when I met Sam, I was kind of like, well, he's not usually my type, but I really get along with him great. We have great banter and I really like the guy so far. He's a nice, kind person. I'm invested in getting to know him. And the only way you can really do that is on your single dates. Mm. So I was in there for a month. By this stage, been waiting for this single date just so I could then work out where I stood.
Sure.
And then once worked that out, so it was a month in.
I get that.
So, and so you've got to understand it's different. It's a different world. It's not like you're out in the real world and you can talk to all your friends and go for a coffee and have a chat about it.
Yeah, but you had the date. You had a single date.
Yeah, but it wasn't as it was played out.
So, Jacinta, then, you were very upset and you went for a walk and had a chat with Sam Batchy. I'm going to play a little bit from that conversation for you. Somehow in the middle of the conversation, he says this.
I want you to have that perfect first date with a guy that you spend forever with.
Which is basically, suddenly you're being given the flick. Like, he's just come out with...
You've got to understand there's a lot of cuts. Like, you've got to think about... An entire
but he still said it.
One episode of an hour, yeah, but you don't know what was said before.
No, sure, but I just thought he's gone from comforting you to now suddenly I want you to have the perfect first date and so therefore it's not me.
Yeah.
Was that a surprise to you to hear him say that?
No, it wasn't because we had more conversation than that.
Jacinta, are we allowed to ask you or do you know too much? If we say to you who's your favourite for the Batchy or do you know too much?
Wind. It's so funny to call it a win. It's like, what do you win? Yeah. Okay, Heather's up there.
Heather.
And, like, it's, you know, it's not you to anyone. It's Heather, Snez,
yep,
and Emily are my three.
They're your top three.
In terms of who's really close to him, yeah.
All right. Well, good luck with your love search. Outside of the show, Jacinta, you're a great character. And we really appreciate you.
And just your life in general. You might not need love, mate.
You might not need love, but we're sending you all our love.
I hope you get a nice chicken sandwich or something like that. Everyone.
Oh, thanks. I do love me a chicken sandwich. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for chatting with us, Jacinta. Good on you, mate.
Thanks, mate. See you guys.
I did love that there, how she just owned that and just walked out of that.
Well, you know what?
The cocktail party. Said, I don't need this. I'm out of here.
How many times have you wanted to leave a rubbish party though. I would love her courage.
But even to the walking out on a date, that's that courage.
I don't think anyone actually does that.
Well, let's see.
No, no one actually will.
Have.
You wait till afterwards and you complain to your girlfriends or your mates.
Well, that would be my chosen.
That's the polite
path. Absolutely. Talk about them behind their back.
Mm-hmm.
Put an anonymous poster.
Polite. Yeah. Polite. Yeah. That's the right way to do it.
13 10 60, give us a call. Have you walked out on a date? How bad does it have to be for you to go, you know what, I'm out of here.
I've never heard it happen. Never heard it happen.
Have you ever walked in and then walked straight back out again? The David Brent moment.
Just done a 180.
13 10 60, have you ever walked out on a date? This is your weekend breakfast.
We've been inspired by Jacinda. Not ta, da.
Yeah.
Jacinda. Jacinda.
From The Bachelor, who just, she just owned her exit and just said, I'm out of here, you know.
It's how you want to go from a reality TV show. You don't want the people to decide or some man in a suit.
Mm.
You want to walk out on your own two legs.
That's right. So if you are living the reality show of a date and you're thinking, this is not for me, you own it, you walk out. Did this happen to you, Emma? Did you walk out on a date?
Well, kind of.
We want yeses or noes, mate. Did you walk out?
I walked away.
Okay.
What happened?
So it was a Tinder date and, you know, I got to the restaurant. I was all like looking pretty and dressed up. And I walked to the door and he's standing there and it's this completely different guy. Not what I was expecting. Oh. Short and ugly. And I just...
Look, can I just put it out there? I'm 5'11", but I'll say 6 foot on Tinder. Is that okay? Or is he like 5'7"?
Well, I'm like 5'7". And he was like maybe 5 foot.
Oh. Whoa!
So, Emma, did you even say hello to him or did you just ghost it?
No, I literally walked to the restaurant, saw him, picked up my phone, pretended I was on the phone and walked away.
No, to be honest, no, I'm backing Emma here. You don't lie to people and misrepresent yourself.
I agree.
It's like, no. What do you expect?
I totally agree.
You're never going to meet these people if you're not on a date. Don't lie. Steph, what happened to you?
So I went on a date. He picked me up. All great. I instantly didn't get along with his personality, so I messaged my sister to pick me up from where we were. I said I had to go to the bathroom, and I walked away. And he never saw me again.
Oh, Steph. So was it a blind date?
I'd spoken to him before, but it was the first time we met.
So had you given him the Facebook stalk?
Yeah. Yeah. And his photos were completely different.
Okay, so what you're saying was he was really gross. That's
but she said she wasn't getting on with his personality.
I'm all right with that.
Well, thank God for your sister, Steph.
Yeah, she was awesome.
But that's what the Facebook stalk is so important. People say, no, I don't. I want to find out about them when I meet them. Stuff that. I don't need to go on a date and go, oh, neo-Nazi. Could have found this out if I just had a Facebook stalk.
Do people put that on their status? Neo-Nazi?
It's anything like your weird third cousin who lives in the... people put that stuff on Facebook.
Katie, you walked out on a date?
Yeah, I did. I went out to a bar one night and I met this guy and I somehow managed to pick him up by telling him that his whole head was upside down because he was bald but he had a beard.
Right. That is smooth, Katie.
Yeah.
Like his head.
Upside down head. I'm sorry, guy. And he somehow found that attractive and decided to ask me out on a date. So we went to this random bar in the city and then I was just realizing we had nothing in common. I didn't really like him. He suggested we went out to this other bar, which I knew was one that one of my friends was working at. So I was like, yeah, sure, that sounds good. We went there and then I had a sneaky word with my friend. I'm like, hey, just keep him occupied. I'm just going to bolt. I was like, okay.
Usain Bolt.
Yeah, I feel like, was this all in the same night?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Hold on, so you met him then decided to go on a date that night?
No, sorry. I thought you meant like the
Yeah,
date. No, it was like 2 days later after I met him in the bar.
Okay.
And then we met up in the city.
So, Katie, I've got a little hint for you. If you say to someone your face is upside down, I'm guessing you're not into him.
I don't know what I was thinking. That was just the first thing that popped into my head when I was
I obviously, instinctually, that's what you thought. And to me...
Describe him to me.
I just think you're not into upside down faces and maybe don't go on the date with him to begin with.
Upside down.
Good advice.
Thanks, I'm very wise.
Weekend Breakfast
with Joe and Michael.
Saturday morning, it's your Weekend Breakfast with Joe Stanley and Michael Beveridge.
I'm Dick Smith today, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay.
Saving Australia's businesses. Right, there's this petition online. If you've ever travelled overseas, you might be aware of this company. It's called Shake Shack.
It's pretty popular in America.
Yeah. It's essentially, you know, a burger joint that does shakes and fries and things. It's your classic American burger place. And it's picking up a lot of popularity in Australia because they want one here.
Who's they? Australians?
The people.
The burger majority.
the majority, as it were.
Okay. That's weird. And has Shake Shack expressed interest in coming
yes.
here? Okay,
yeah.
All right.
They bought the license for the term Shake Shack maybe okay. like 5 years ago in Australia. Right. So it's, you know, they must be planning something. Mm-hmm. And this petition has had, I think, like 600,000 people sign it, which is a decent chunk of Australia's, what, 24 million.
Mm.
But I'm not happy about it. And you would, that's shocking. You know, I'm a fat idiot. I love burgers. Yes. I just want to consume lard and grease.
I love burgers, but I want them to be Australian companies. I don't want another American giant corporation to come here and send all their income, their profit home without paying tax, which is what most of them do.
They're coming in many. Here. Stanley, here.
I hated myself then. It came out like I was an old lady, but it's true.
No, well, you've hit the nail on the head here. That's why I'm being Dick Smith today, because there are some delicious Australian burger companies out there.
Yes, there are.
We have a crack, and you're sitting there listening right now, and you know what? There is. Whether it be Huckster Burger or Laurie D's in Melbourne or bloody Yardbird in Brizzy or Nord Burger in Adelaide or, I don't know, in Sydney, Mary's. There are so many good burger places. Yeah. And I thought, how can I express my love in a very trendy and current way? Mm. How about you do like a fun parody of a Taylor Swift song to let the people know that you love Australian burgers, Michael? That's a great idea.
So they say they want this place, but I think it's a mistake. How about you support Aussie mate? Yeah, yeah. Support Aussie mate.
Oh,
yeah,
thanks,
yeah.
Mate.
It's made from ground up steak.
It's a cheeseburger.
With lettuce watered from a lake.
Photosynthesis.
We got more than Hungry Jays. Yeah, yeah, we got more than Hungry Jays. We could be choosing local burgers ruling, fries and bacon drooling, like on my shirt.
Oh my God.
No, like literally, dude, you dribbled on your shirt, yeah.
Cause Aussie burgers are great.
Great, 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 great.
You can eat them on a day.
Day, 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 day.
Or if you're ugly with a mate.
Mate, mate, mate.
Shake Shack, we shake you off, shake you off. Fish burgers are made from flake,
flake, flake, flake, flake.
Enjoyed by girls named Kate,
Kate, Kate, Kate, Kate.
Arabic leaders are called shakes,
shake, 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 shake.
Ran out with rhyming words,
yeah, you did.
Rhyming words.
Yeah, you definitely did.
Weekend Breakfast
with Joe and Michael.
I am a staunch Collingwood supporter, so I'm in mourning not just for the game we lost last night against the Sydney Swans, but also for our season.
There's a calm feeling about the season, so that's all right. You're just not a part of it anymore, and we can enjoy the rest of the season.
Yeah, anyway, thanks. last night I was on my couch and I was watching this one particular Swans player just tear us apart, and he kicked two goals, one. And the first time I noticed him was when he first kicked the first goal. He's a full redhead.
Oh, Ranger.
Total. Like,
oh, I love him now.
Full redhead. I'm like,
love
yeah.
him. He's my favourite.
I know. And then so that caused me to go, who's that number 16? I'm going to look him up. And there he is. He's very impressed. Kicked another goal.
Young
thanks
lad.
Very much. Yeah, young lad. His name is Gary Rowan.
Gary Rowan.
Names. Two first names. Don't trust him.
That wasn't my issue, actually, Shira. My issue was he's born in 1991.
Yep. His name's Gary.
There is no call for calling a baby in 1991 Gary.
Unless you're a big fan of Gary Ablett.
Well, unless you are actually Gary Ablett's son.
Yeah.
That is the only,
way.
Situation in which you should be called Gary.
So here
if
are the
you're
Gary...
born in the 90s.
I'm trying to think of the Garys I know. Gary Larson. The rugby league player and the cartoonist, they'd be at least 80.
Look, 13, 10, 60, because there are some names I'm going to say should have been retired, yet every now and then you meet people and you go, that's funny, you've got a grandfather's name.
Girl,
or even worse, like, you know.
You're Betty. I haven't met
her. Girl I went to school with is called her kid Edna. No word of a lie.
Edna!
Okay.
Yep.
But see, those, I don't know, the old world names are coming back. I'm talking like, I don't want to ever meet a Neville who's been born post...
Neville's
like,
great.
No one from the 90s should be called Neville.
Neville.
Perhaps, though, 13, 10, 60, if you or you know someone
you
who has a name, or perhaps you named a kid, has a name that should have been retired.
Weekend Breakfast
with Joe and Michael.
I am someone who's happy to pay it when the opposition are good.
Mm-hmm.
And last night, Sydney Swans were much better than my boys, the Pies, and particularly some amazing performances from various players. One that I became obsessed with, Gary Rowan.
Gary Rowan, and he's a ginger too, so this story brings us all together.
Yeah, it did make me think of you. He kicked two goals, one against the Pies, and he's born in 1991, and I just feel like there's no call for a child to be called Gary in 1991. I would also add to that list Barry, Daryl, Darren.
Warren.
Warren, Trevor, Neville.
Just alienating all these
people. I just, if you have been called those names in, you know, recent, if you're, you know, in your 20s,
no
that's
one,
hard.
You can't be called Neville because Neville literally is, you're called Neville No Friends. Your name is what is used to mock people. You don't want that.
But you'd have to find a way to shorten, like Nev. Nev's terrible.
Nah, that's gross too.
Vul. Anyway, 131060, have you got a name that really should have been retired by now? It's an old person's name. Sam, your girlfriend, what's her name?
Her name's Marjorie.
Yeah. Listen to Shira.
I was thinking Marge Simpson, Marjorie Bouvier.
Sam, is she able to shorten it to something kind of cool?
Not really, Marge.
Nope. Riri? You could call her Riri, like Rihanna.
No, that's just weird.
Okay. Does she hate it? Is it a family name?
Yeah, she hates it. And to make things worse, her middle name's Thelma.
Oh. So get out of here!
Wow.
Thelma!
When she first met my grandmother, like my grandma was like, oh, when I did ballroom dancing, I had some friends named Marjorie.
They're all dead now.
Oh, but... okay.
Poor Marjorie.
That's bad.
And it's good of you, Sam, to be with a Marjorie.
Yes.
Margaret.
Yes.
How old are you, Margaret?
23.
No, the tone of your
resignation.
Now, are you angry at your parents?
I'm named after a great-great-grandmother.
There are things you shouldn't be named after. And
I'm a 23-year-old, 100-year-old woman.
Margaret, awesome. So do you shorten it?
Yes, I go by Maggie.
Maggie's gorgeous.
Maggie's cute.
Not great.
Hold on, have we got like a Simpsons just whole thing?
Oh, yeah, Marge, Maggie.
Yeah.
We need Bart. Call him if you're Bart.
Bort.
Maggie's super cute, Margaret. And I'm sorry, I called you Margaret.
Yeah. Thanks. Rub it in.
Very dry sense of humor.
Well, you have to when you're called Margaret.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, she's been a life thing.
Would you change your name, Margaret?
No, I'm pretty used to it now. I'm too lazy to go to deep hole.
Yeah,
so.
And I think
I think
your personality can defy Margaret. You sound like someone who's got a big personality, Maggie.
Good luck with it, Maggie.
Thanks.
No, it sounds like she's just had a bunch of grief over the years and she's just sick of it by
okay.
now.
Okay.
Bless you, Margaret. Bless your little cotton socks, Margaret.
Well, Josephine and Michael, it's time for us to get out of here. But we'll be back tomorrow morning.
Yes, we will be back tomorrow morning.
7 a.m. See you then.
Woo! Weekend Breakfast. Joe Stanley, Michael Beveridge.
Weekend Breakfast.